expectations of achieving change very quickly. The reality is a lot has improved in a relatively short period of time.
The National Medical Director of the Organ and Tissue Authority, Dr. Helen Obdam. Dr. Obdam joins us today to talk about the need for an increase in the number of people registering to become organ donors and a new online service she hopes will achieve that. The former Governor-General Michael Jeffrey said recently that countries such as Spain, Croatia and the USA are achieving much higher rates of organ transplants than Australia. But Dr. Obdam says that while organ and tissue donation in this country is below a desirable level, it's not as bad as it might appear.
People have expectations of achieving change very quickly. The reality is a lot has improved in a relatively short period of time. And in fact, since the federal funding and national reform began in 2009, the number of people who donate after death in Australia has more than doubled. So more than twice the number of donors that we had in the years 2000 to 2008, when we really had, 200 people a year who donated organs after death. Last year in Australia, there were 435 deceased organ donors, and that resulted in 1,241 transplant recipients. So really quite a large increase. And every country has its particular challenges, and that influences the donor pool and donor potential. And comparing us to a country like Spain, I'm not sure if that's the best comparison. We've got more similar rates to the UK. We're behind the USA, but both of those countries have organised and invested in their systems for longer than us, and we've made a good start, but there's more to be done.
Is there some degree of myth and misinformation that is contributing to people's reluctance to become organ donors?
Look, there's heaps of myths out there. Let me name a few of them. Some people think a lot of people are dying and surely there must be a lot of people who can be donors, so therefore someone else can do it. And I'll come back to my earlier statement. It's such a rare and precious opportunity that, if we want transplantation to be available to us as a community, for ourselves, for our family, we need to be prepared to be donors because it's just not available otherwise. Some people think they're too old and unsuitable and they rule themselves out. But in fact, there's very few medical exclusions that would make someone unsuitable. Some people are worried that if they join the register or they say they're willing to be a donor, the health professionals won't work as hard to save their lives. I can just say that's completely wrong. Every effort, the primary goal of healthcare professionals is to save someone's life, and it's only when it's clear that that's not possible that donation is considered. So there's some of the reasons. There may be more. Some people think their religion is against donation, but again, that's not true, and they should seek advice from their religious leaders, but also find out more information on the donatelife.gov.au website, and there is quite a lot of information there for people from different cultural and religious groups.
Let's look at the legal implications for a minute. Doctor, let's assume that I decide that I want to become an organ donor, and I sign the appropriate documentation to say so. Is that binding, or can a member of my family overrule that?
The reality is families can ultimately overrule someone's decision, and I think that's something that people find quite challenging. But there's probably not quite an awareness of the family's experience at the time of donation. They're very much part of the process, and the cooperation of the family is vital in that they provide very important health and lifestyle information about the donor that makes the donation and transplantation safer. Their experience at the time of the death of the person they loved is influenced by the donation process. The donation process can take time to gather information about the donor, undertake testing, and to pretend that we can devoid families from that experience, it's just not practical. The reality is most families want to uphold the wish of the people that they love, and staff work with families to help them support and uphold the expressed wishes of the person that they love. But some families, and it's infrequent, do continue to object to donation, even though someone had registered. Sometimes it's because they're exhausted and they can't cope with the time frames that it takes to organise donation. So it's an area I think we need to think more about as a community and do more work in. So there's some complexity there.
There are obviously many avenues to be approached in trying to increase the numbers of organ donors in this country. And I'm wondering, in light of the studies that have been done thus far, has Australia, to your knowledge, ever considered introducing the opt-out policy that's been adopted by some other countries?
Yeah, look, it's often mentioned as sort of a quick fix. People want to think that there's a rapid solution, as it were, to more rapidly boosting donation rates and transplantation rates in the country. But when you get into the detail of it and you actually look at countries with presumed consent, although their legislation may be presumed consent, almost all countries with that opt-out system still approach the family and seek consent from the family, and they will not proceed if the family disagrees with donation. Countries, including Spain, that has presumed consent or opt out, when you talk to their leaders, you say, well, what's important in having such fantastic donation rates as you do? And they say having a properly funded and organised system is what's important. And certainly that's the approach that's been taken in the US and the UK, and it's the approach that has been taken in Australia and has really resulted in already a rapid increase in donation and transplantation.
And, of course, people have been able to sign up to become organ donors for online for some time, but I gather from May this year that process is going to be streamlined and fast-tracked.
Yeah, look, the government has announced some additional funding to improve the ability for people to register their donation willingness online on the Australian Organ Donor Register, and that's through providing an additional portal of entry, and that's the MyGov site. And there's already a large proportion of Australians who are registered with MyGov for Medicare and taxation purposes. And those people, and including others, will be able to, in addition to the existing method of registration, be able to register in a one-step manner their willingness to donate. Currently, the registration requires an online completion of a form and then a secondary written signature on a paper-based form that's sent out to be completed in order for people to receive the donor card and be, you know, a proper consent on the register. The MyGov method of registering will just make that a single electronic step, and, you know, that will be a bit more efficient.
And what will happen once somebody's done that?
Well, I hope they live a very long and healthy life, but sadly, if they do die under the circumstances in which donation's feasible, then we know that people who are registered on the Australian Organ Donor Register and who die where they can donate have a very high likelihood of doing so.
Dr. Helen Obdam, National Medical Director of the Organ and Tissue Authority. Some years ago, arguably one of the most thought-provoking bumper stickers ever produced read, "Don't take your organs to heaven. Heaven knows we need them here." Well, there are several ways you can register your willingness to become an organ donor. Visit www.donorregister.gov.au, call 1-800-777-203, or pop into your nearest Medicare service centre. I'm Michael Lynch, and this podcast is a presentation of Tobin Brothers Funerals, Celebrating Lives.